This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. To No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
Welcome, welcome one and all to this, the show where we try to defeat bad ideas. But bad ideas often defeat us.
Let's have some optimism here. Sometimes we turn them into good stories.
Sometimes.
That's right. But sometimes really, we don't fail miserably and awkwardly and alone.
Isn't it the struggle that we make along the way?
We fail together.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Zach, Sarah, how are you guys doing? Are you both excited to dive into some bad ideas?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Well, I'm excited to be bringing you guys this first bad idea, because a little while ago, we had a story about a gentleman who overstayed his welcome at an airport.
Yes, I remember that gentleman.
And I think that I have found that gentleman's kind of opposite extreme, you know, sort of a completely at the other end of the spectrum.
Oh, boy. Cool.
But I think that it'll be kind of like a good diptych if we make these two stories into possible movies or something. So are you guys ready?
Let's go there.
All right. The headline from NBCnews.com. And by the way, dear listeners, if you would like to read along, there's going to be a link to this and the other article in the episode description. But the headline reads, quote unquote, serial stowaway with history of sneaking onto flights. Arrested at Chicago O'Hare.
Man, it's all happening in Chicago.
It's the place to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or in the case of this person, perhaps the place to not be. So the article reads, a woman with a history of being a serial stowaway and sneaking on flights was arrested at Chicago O'Hare International Airport after police were tipped off by her ankle bracelet, officials said Wednesday.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Marilyn Hartman, 69, was already awaiting sentencing for trying to sneak on a commercial craft when her GPS ankle bracelet went off at about noon on Tuesday, according to a statement from the Cook County's Sheriff's Office.
Wow.
The alarm indicated Hartman was outside, quote, the residential facility where she had been mandated to stay, the statement said. After Hartman didn't pick up her phone, authorities said they spotted the ankle bracelet headed to O'Hare. She arrived at Terminal 1 at about 1:38 p.m. Central Time, and an alarm siren was activated on Hartman's device, leading to her arrest by Chicago police before she could enter any secure areas, the sheriff said. Hartman will be charged with felony escape for Tuesday's journey to O'Hare, the sheriff said. She was still in custody on Wednesday, held without bail until her next court appearance scheduled for Thursday, according to jail records. It wasn't clear on Wednesday if Hartman had hired an attorney, the sheriff said. A representative for the Cook County State Attorney's Office could not be immediately reached for comment. However, this is where things get most interesting to me personally. Hartman has a long history of trespassing. Since the first incident at the San Francisco International Airport in February 2014, she has been accused of similar incidents in Los Angeles, Arizona, and Minnesota, in addition to Chicago. Back in 2018, Hartman sneaked onto a British Airways flight and made it to London before the airline realized she didn't have a ticket and sent her back to Chicago.
This is like bordering on art.
No. It's like a real like the performance of it all is pretty great.
And just like talk about perfect timing.
I know. But yeah, so that's what's going on. Let me get a 10-minute timer going and let's see what we can come up with. Timer starts now.
catch me if you can again?
Little bit of a twist on that. I mean, this is this is fascinating because I really don't want to be on an airplane most of the time anyway. And so to choose it is just fascinating.
Right. But to do it for the love of the game.
Exactly. Like, I don't think she really wanted to be in Arizona or Minnesota or LA
or London
or London. Apparently she just needed to be on the plane.
Wow. It's such an inconvenient addiction. If it's a compulsion,
it really
is. At least with shoplifting, not that that's justifiable. Like, you're in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't cost, hundreds of dollars to do it every time if you're doing it legally, or risk pissing off like the civil aviation authorities.
Yes.
If you do it not legally.
Although this gives me a great idea for a new reality series. Where we can call it Around the World in 80K. And you get probably not $80,000, but like some amount of money to travel all the way around the world.
And however much you don't spend, you get to keep at the end. Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which she would win that game.
Holy shit.
Right. No, and there's kind of a lot of things that you can do while you're like on land. But when it comes to crossing those oceans, that's going to be real tough.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, not everyone is Christian Bale, Bruce Wayne, and can just sneak aboard an ocean liner.
Right, right.
Most people would have to fly, and those international flights are expensive, man.
Well, and what's tough is that, Bruce Wayne also didn't have like a camera crew following him around.
That's fair too.
Which
That's
I think makes
too.
The sneaking process
the sneaking
harder.
Element it makes it more difficult. That's not how that reality show would actually work. It probably wouldn't involve sneaking. So if we want to like tell a story that really utilizes the trespassing element, we should probably make it fictional.
So when was the last time we did a space opera? Sorry, space western. Very different, but they share space.
Very, very different, but related items. It's been a while. It's been a hot minute since we've like really done like a big grandiose.
Yeah, we haven't gone to space
adventure.
In a bit.
So I'm thinking like space western. We have the legend of outlaws who is just known as the stowaway.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
I dig it.
I like that name.
And it's that sort of future situation where Earth is kind of a weird dystopic nightmare, and there's better, greener pastures in the stars, in the colonial program. And of course, there's the sort of tension between the overbuilt, litigious empire and the sort of folksy backwater. Not rebellion exactly. Like, this isn't necessarily a Star Wars.
But like maybe just like some folks that maybe just kind of want to be left alone.
Yeah. And of course you have the people who live outside the law.
Sure. Who really want to be left alone.
Right. And are so good at not being seen in the first place that they can get on what would otherwise they can get free rides with what would otherwise be life savings. Or require some sort of conglomerate bankroll.
Right. So is this like
maybe
a sort of or go ahead.
Maybe the fuel that is necessary for interplanetary travel is prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
So, it's more comparable to, the most expensive flight in the world rather than kind of like what we think of as like a regular flight where with a regular job, you might be able to afford in a year. This is one of these like, no, in order to get these, you might have to work 30 years, 40 years,
right.
50
like
years.
Most tickets are a one-way trip labor agreement where you're going to like farm someplace. And
sure.
That's how you're paying for the ticket. And you don't go back.
Right.
But so my question is this kind of an underground railroad situation where the stowaway is helping people leave the sort of oppressive empire to find freedom on the frontier? Or is it like the reverse of that, where you have people who are sort of on this hard scrabble planet that are stuck in these basically indentured servitude that are trying to escape it? and they're trying to like find their way back towards Earth or something.
I think she's the I think you're really onto something with that last one, that she was not born on Earth, but went back to Earth and can tell people in the backwater, you ain't missing much.
All right.
But it was sort of like born to squalor and hardship and wanted to escape and figured out where the loose floorboard is on the supply ship and got her first ride off system and kind of figured it out from there. And where we cut into the story gives you a very different plot line. It could honestly be the frame. I forget which Western this references, and it's definitely more than one, but just where you're like ostensibly following the little boy and seeing the hero through their eyes versus.
You mean like in Shane?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Sarah and I famously have very little patience for Shane, which is why we said it so emphatically.
Yeah. I also wasn't like the biggest on it, but I saw what they were doing. He's like a little bit of a Nick Carraway pull.
No, but your point is well taken, though, that like the stock character of kind of, you know, like the little kid that meets this like mythic figure, like that's a way in.
Right. Versus the biopic of this character from a young age and sort of tracking them
totally
from their like greenhorn days to becoming the hardened veteran that they are now.
Sure.
I think that what's missing for me here is kind of just like how is like besides being able to see other planets, what is it that this person is doing where she's benefiting or profiting from being able to stow on things? Is it that she's also smuggling and, you know, like underneath the floorboards, she has with her like that extra case of like fuel or whatever. Yeah, exactly. And whatever. Then she's taking that to all these places. And, you know, normally it's like, well, there's only supposed to be 5 cases of this. And you introduce a 6th one into the market and you can make fucking bank because, you know, we thought that we were going to have 5 for the next 5 years. And it's like, no, all of a sudden the supply has gone up. Or is it something else? Kind of like besides the mobility, how is she benefiting from the stowing away?
Mm-hmm. Right. Or like, what is the problem that she is trying to solve? Is she wanted on world for a crime she did not commit and needs to get off world like lickety split?
How about this? So she had a family member have a problem, health problem. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Galactic Empire has all the technology to solve these problems pretty easily, but they're super rationed when you're the further away from Earth you get.
I like this.
Sure.
So she had to steal something for her family member from the local embassy or whatever, and then had to get out of Dodge.
I like it a lot.
And then from there, I think she could have all sorts of reasons to need to keep traveling because nowhere is safe once you've broken the law.
But she's an outlaw before. And like I think that like that is helpful to kind of.
Right. You know, she breaks the law first.
Yeah.
Yeah. That helps calibrate why she would need to keep moving. Yeah, I guess I'm wondering if it's because it feels like if it's focused just solely on her, the stowaway, then it's, you know, a performance piece about how someone sort of sneaks and cons their way into like galactic high society and maybe solves an ill of this empire. If it's, you know, more of a like a hole in the wall gang situation to pull other Westerns in, and like this person becomes an outlaw and like leaves and then finds a crew and tries to like create a space where they can be completely left alone. Like that's a different set of problems, you know?
Right.
I was going to say in the 20 seconds you have left, is an antagonist and is there a title?
Yes. His name's Javert and he's hunting.
All right.
Super excellent. Original.
Is he played by Russell Crowe?
You know, Russell Crowe could be a good galactic emperor at this point.
So wait, so you're saying, and he's Javert? That's what you're saying here?
No, I'm not saying Russell Crowe is Javert. I think we would let like Michael Fassbender do that. But Russell Crowe could be a good galactic emperor.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's time on that space opera.
Okay.
But no, very nicely done. I like where this went. I like the supersizing of this. And I like kind of like the inflating of this compulsion that this person has into kind of like the mythic space tableau. That's awesome.
A lot of fun. Yeah, thanks for the idea.
Yeah, thank you for bringing it to us.
let's just hope that one day this person and the guy that's stowed away in the airport can meet and exchange notes on their respective airport adventures.
Hello there, Zach Valenti here, jumping into this episode with this brief message. Perhaps you've heard. We are in the home stretch of our Share the Magic campaign for our latest audio fiction series, Unseen. You, yes you, can head on over to share.unseen.show to grab a unique link to recommend our audio fiction program, Unseen, to friends and family and strangers on the internet that you think could use a little more magic in their lives these days. We'll be keeping count of everybody who gets brought to the show through these links, and we'll be rewarding the top three sharers with some exclusive Unseen merch. We were going to stop counting March 31st, but now that the April Fool's special will be coming out on April 20th, we're going to be extending the campaign to April 19th. Winners will be announced in the April Fool's special on 420. So head on over to share.unseen.show to grab your unique link and start sharing today. Thanks so much for helping spread the magic. All right, let's get back to more bad ideas.
Welcome back from the stars. I have a much more down-to-earth idea for both of you to deal with. Yeah, this I want to shout out. This was sent to me by friend of the show, Christian Kelly Madeira, specifically because he knew it would bother me, which is why I'm bringing it to the two of you.
For any of our friends who are listening, we highly recommend trolling us via this show.
Yeah, no, it's
highly recommended.
it's a delight. And I'm so glad that Christian sent this to me. But it is a classic genre of bad idea. It is a r/relationship post, the subreddit r/relationships.
It's every time that I think we're out, somebody pulls us back in.
Oh no. So this is going to bring the tone down a little bit from Epic Space Outlaws, but
all right,
perhaps we can do something with it. So the query begins. I, 23-year-old female, just found out my boyfriend, 24-year-old male, scratched, and I'm going to spell this out.
Okay.
So the numeral 6, IX, the numeral 9, INE, is God. That's text too. So 69 is God. Into Hadrian's Wall when we were in England pre-pandemic.
Oh my God. Oh God.
He's telling me to chill. I think this is dump worthy. and the Holy post reads.
I agree. Oh wait, no, there's a post? I thought that was it. I mean, what other information do you need?
You don't need more information, but there is.
But we got
more
it anyway.
Holy
Christ.
The user writes, last year, my boyfriend and I were on a work study project in Northern England, and what was supposed to be a fun trip turned into us hating each other and breaking up when we got back home. We reconciled during the pandemic and have been okay ever since. He was staring at his phone yesterday, laughing, and it seemed like he was furiously sending text. I asked him what was so funny, and he said that I'm too uptight to find it funny. I told him to try me. He said he was texting back and forth with his brother about the time his brother got drunk and took a crap on the Porta Negra in Germany.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Seems like a charming family.
Absolutely. I said that was stupid and immature. He said that I'll really hate this. And then he showed me a picture of what looked like an obscure rock with 69 is God scratched into it. I asked him where it was, and he said, remember when we got lost when we did the walking tour of Hadrian's Wall?
Oh my God.
I was disgusted and asked him why he did it. This is the best part of the article, but the post, by the way. Uh-huh. He said, because he hated England and hated that tour guide.
So, oh my God. Okay. So while I have this aneurysm that I'm having, like,
let me continue.
For anyone who might be listening, just like to make sure that we're all thinking of the right thing. Mm-hmm. Hadrian's Wall, like over 2000 year old, like
about 2000 years old. Thereabouts.
Like, very, very famous kind of like Roman building in England.
It's a series of Roman fortresses along the north of England that was technically the Antonine Wall was the line between them and the Picts, but a very, very important historic feature of that part of England.
And like, you'd be hard pressed, like probably one of the like oldest standing buildings in civilization, like kind of like one of the oldest things that we have
it's pretty up there, especially for, I mean, it's not like you got Stonehenge, that's older.
I know, but like
it's no Angkor Wat, but it's still like, you know,
yeah,
it's not the Empire State Building.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm very upset.
To return to our very upset poster.
No, this is what I was trying to delay with that historical tangent.
She writes, or they write, I told him I was breaking up with him. He said that I wasn't serious and that I needed to chill. I left and he texted me to come back.
Oh my God.
And, quote, get real. This isn't worth breaking up for. And he scratched it in a spot where no one will ever see it. Oh, I'm still so grossed out by this. Is this breakup worthy? End of post.
Yes. Yes, it is.
If you have to ask, you already have the answer.
Especially because everything about this, including most tellingly that anecdote with his brother, suggests that this is not the last time that something like this is going to happen.
No,
like,
can't take him to the Great Wall of China. That's for sure.
Jesus. Yeah.
I forget what movie it's from, but this is like, it strikes me with the O'Doyle rules rule, if that rings a bell.
I don't know what that is.
I want to say it's not Back to the Future, but it's like one of those movies where like you just keep seeing this person who's like, O'Doyle rules, like this kind of jerk in school.
Oh, is that sort of like a Kilroy Was Here kind of thing?
And it's just this like asshole who like pushes people over and then yells O'Doyle rules. And then like later on, you find out that his family is exactly the same character down to the baby sister and the grandma. And like they're just like all that kind of meathead, like, and they get their comeuppance in the end. But I'm just like imagining this entire family is like, she goes to the Thanksgiving.
Right. Well, as you imagine that, I'm going to put 10 minutes on this timer and we can start. So yeah, is this the Thanksgiving from hell? What do you guys want to do with the story?
Right. Like, I wonder if we take it to the like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, except it doesn't end with the wedding place because it's just so dysfunctional. It's like just the like this side of Get Out, but with like people who can't control themselves around historical artifacts and respectable society.
Right. The problem there is like, why do people keep taking them to historical places? Right.
You would think.
Like at a certain point, just trap them in IKEA and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. That we're done.
Right. It's because we don't have One World Police, so there's just no record.
Is this like a challenge? Then, like some sort of fraternity hazing situation where like the person who defaces the most historical artifacts or the most important historical artifact wins a prize. I don't want to make this story. I'm just theorizing.
Right, right.
So I have something that might be the movie that I would most love and would also physically hurt me the most.
Great.
which is there is. And so for this to work, the person who has the boyfriend would need to not just be a sane, civil
individual
person that respects history. Like, it would need to be someone who's, like, professional. Like, she would need to be, like, an archaeologist. Like, someone whose profession is these things. And, like, she would have to be into preservation of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and, like, what caught my eye was this comment about, oh, me and my boyfriend had, like, gone on this trip and, like, we'd broken up. So, and then we got back together. Yeah. Imagine in this alternate version of it where she's an archaeologist, they go on this trip, they break up. He wants to get back with her.
Right.
But she doesn't want anything to do with him. And eventually he's like, I know how to get her attention.
Oh,
and he
no.
begins this world tour of destruction where he like, you know, like he goes to Hadrian's Wall and he inscribes a clue there about the next thing that he's going to deface. And so it's like, can she figure out the puzzle in time to find him before
this
he gets to...
This is the worst version of Carmen Sandiego yes, in the world.
Yes, it is.
Wow.
I love it as a video game that I would physically hurt me to play.
No, that's the thing. Like, it would be really,
really
painful. It's
the origin
painful.
Story. It's why she starts stealing these things. To keep him from different
from her boyfriend.
Oh my God. It's a real shame that, yeah, that there's a recent Carmen Sandiego reboot because this new backstory, I think, is it. Yeah.
I'm just imagining the scene where she's, is it Rick's in Casablanca?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like she just pulls in and it's like, pour me a stiff one. Like, man, what's going on with you?
Just, right, there's like this watering hole wherever yeah. it is, where like all the archaeologists go
the archaeologists
and like hang
meet.
Out.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, no, you Indiana know, this... Jones rules. Right. Like this is a universe now. We're not in the real world anymore. This is a universe where like I don't know, Saladin's sword is an artifact, and like you can the Ten Commandments are actually in that warehouse somewhere in Washington.
Yeah. And there's like way more like historical detritus than we
yes.
have in our real world.
Than right, we have right, in the right. real world.
And
yes.
archaeologist yeah. is the least insurable profession for the risk of actual zombies.
Right.
Right. And yeah, and so she's doing all of these things where she's like, you know, going into the ancient temple, disarming the trap, dealing with the deadly guard, you know, like subduing the demon dog. And right. then she gets into like, you know, like the vault. And right there is the stone icon of whatever is still there, but scratched on it is like, you know, a dick or something.
Right.
It's just like, Bobby, God damn it.
Oh, man. You know, we haven't, there is already a Carmen Sandiego reboot, but Johnny Quest is just sitting there.
Ah,
waiting,
hey.
Ready to go.
There we go. Hanna-Barbera, call us. We've got your hard R. Seth Rogen is somehow involved reboot of Johnny Quest
totally
for you.
He is totally involved. Oh my gosh.
I don't know what he's doing, but like he's around.
Yeah, he can be, he can like run the archaeologist bar.
You know, alternatively, did either of you see, I forget what that movie is called, like, but like that movie that he and Charlize Theron did.
That's
where,
right.
Like, he
yeah.
was, she was running for president and
he was the speechwriter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they ended up together. Mm-hmm. Unexpected chemistry. So I think Charlize is the archaeologist, Seth Rogen as the like dick bag boyfriend. Yeah.
Oh God.
Oh my God.
I think it's got legs. I'm telling you.
I'm just telling you, Charlize would be down.
Actually, she would. She's got an amazing track record of the joke castings in the best way.
No,
and she
and
like is so
is
game.
Real.
Her range is real. I saw the old guard. She would be down to play a comedy version of that.
Wow.
All right. We have about 4 minutes left. What are some of the artifacts that are endangered in the course of this wild chase through history?
The Liberty Bell for sure gets something.
Oh, nice.
And I think that there's a good set piece where like Charlize races there and like gets there and it seems like it's all right. And it's like, whew. And then it's like, wait a minute. And she like looks under the bell and looks inside and there is like a caricature of something. And it's like, God damn it. But, you know, just
Bobby.
Like, exactly.
Right. There's the telltale dick butt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it just keeps getting cruder and cruder as it goes along. Like, you know, like it starts off bad and it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Is there a reveal at some point that now I'm just stealing from that Seth Rogen released their own movie? Whose title I cannot remember, where like it's revealed that like sort of like she was mean to him in elementary school and like there's like a secret past history beyond that they were together one summer in college or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure there is. Like there has to be some reason why these two are dating, because I think that unfortunately this entire movie is pivoted to end in one of two ways. Like, I think that it has to end with either them getting back together or her killing him. Like, I think that right. there's absolutely no middle ground.
No, she doesn't kill him. She just lets like one of those gigantic Buddhas carved into the side of a mountain in Afghanistan fall on him.
Right. Because he was like chipping a dick into like one of the pillars that was holding it up or whatever. Right,
and she was like, don't do it.
Or we can crystal skulls it and she just lets the aliens do it.
Like there's just something like the aliens turn him into a giant dick or something. Like there is some poetic
cosmic
justice.
Comeuppance.
Yeah.
Long Shot, by the way, is the name of that Charlize Theron, Seth Rogen movie. Long Shot.
Right. So then the penultimate scene, or the ultimate scene, would have to happen in Area 51.
I guess.
And I'm just thinking about other monuments that like could do the Leaning Tower of Pisa. There's some humor there and that she comes and it's like on the ground.
Or like, you know, like it's been like sanded down to look like an absolutely gigantic dong.
Oh my God.
Right.
David, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I guess in that case, you would have to remove his dong. That would be the defacement.
Right.
I like this. We've got some good set pieces.
Again, like I would like watch this movie and I would just be like, I'm torn because this is very fun. But also like I hate it. Cringing and I hate it.
Well, in the sort of 1 minute 20 that you have left, what is this movie that we are deeply conflicted about called?
I think Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego : Lose My Number.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
I think for copyright reasons, we can't do that.
I was
going to
say, rights holder, our inbox is open.
Yeah.
How about carbon dating?
Ooh, I like that.
Ooh, that's
a lot.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
The poor Shroud of Turin is going to get used as Oh man.
Right. And like, there's like, that's probably something else where like, you know, like the artifact seems fine. And then they turn on the black light to like, you know, date it or whatever, get like whatever reading.
And it's like, you smell like farts written in very crass handwriting.
Yeah. All the handwriting is done as if the person was like holding the pencil, like in the closed fist rather than like the standard holding. Like it's all just like very crude, like big blocky letters.
Well, Charlize, if this is something you're interested in, that's time.
Call us Houghton Mifflin Harcourt IP owners of Carmen Sandiego.
I don't think this is age appropriate for the Carmen Sandiego audience, but
look, they gotta grow up sometimes.
I'm gonna say we all grew up.
Yeah.
It's time to cash in.
Fair enough. Well, we will investigate cashing in.
Sarah, I'm curious. Yeah. Are there any updates on that relationship's post? Like, do we hear anything about whether she broke up with the dude or not?
Is there any resolution?
I'm invested now.
You're invested now? I really hope she did. No. Although I really like one of the responses that's just forget dumping, consider murder.
See, I'm telling you, it only ends one way.
Yeah. No, I don't see any updates from the poster, but a lot of agita and disgust from the comments, which is as it should be.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.